How y'all doing? Sure was a nice rain. I was watching Brother Grant this morning. You could tell he missed preaching. He had everything planned out. He had it all. All of his little studying done, you know, and he had it all. It's just amazing. You can just see he's got it all laid out. He missed studying here. He missed preaching. He loves that stuff. He was really... It's a good sermon on obedience. I was just thinking to myself, man, I wish I could get excited like that. You know, it's funny how different we are. But for some reason, I've been struggling with this one. It's funny how different sermons are, you know. Sometimes I'm excited about what I got to say, and sometimes I just feel like I have to do this. This is one of them last ones. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Word of God, Lord, and I ask You to speak for me, Lord, and speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 15. This is Paul writing to Timothy because he don't know if he's going to be here no more. He don't know if he's ever going to see him again. And he gives him instructions on how to preach in the church of God, you know. I'll tell you what, I could use Paul's help. He lays out all this stuff, and then he says in chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." You know, the Bible talks about the mystery of the church. But you know, it's not just mystery, it's simplicity. You know, Jesus didn't hardly brag on anybody because we're all human. God demands a perfect life from us. And when it gets right down to it, our lives are simple. The Bible gives it gives the commandment for children to obey their parents. That's it. Don't give them nothing else. They don't have to worry about the mortgage. They don't have to worry about where they're going to work. They just have to obey their parents. It's that simple. There was a centurion in the Bible that they come to Jesus, and he had a boy that worked for him that was sick, and he told Jesus, he said, "You don't got to come to my house. I ain't fit for you to come to my house." He said, "You just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." He knew that it was just a matter of authority. Jesus had the authority of God. He knew it. Because he said, "I'm a man under authority." He knew what it was like to do what he was told. And that's about all we got to do. It's just that simple. You know, this world is descending into chaos. People don't know nothing. They think some things. Last Sunday, I started preaching and I got scared and I kind of chickened out. And, you know, we don't want to offend anybody in this day and time. You take people that's making millions of dollars a year, and they say something wrong and they lose their jobs. It's the craziest thing I ever heard of. They go back 40 years and find where somebody said something that was perfectly acceptable 40 years ago, and they lose their jobs. We don't want to offend anybody. We're having Pride Weekend. You know, we living in a sick world here. And there's some serious issues with it. But we are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. I had a boy working on my house for months, and he talks about Christianity some, and he's pretty serious about being a Christian. I talked to him a couple times, and he's talking about his girlfriend. This guy's 40 years old. I said, "What do you mean, girlfriend?" He said, "Well, I mean, we're not married." I said, "Do you live together?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So you're talking about being a Christian and being serious about it, and you got a girlfriend?" He said, Well, he said, I've been married before. And I don't want to do the wrong thing. I said, you're doing the wrong thing. He said, well, I mean, you know, we're both married before, and in the Bible, and he starts talking all this stuff. And I said, look here. It's a simple thing. I said, you got shacked up or married? You got living in sin or married? You got this is my girlfriend or it's my wife? I said, it's that simple. Now, if you ain't going to marry her, you need to get away from her. Because that ain't the way it's supposed to be. You know, he had a lot of excuses. And he still got a girlfriend. You know, he can go on living in his world. But I'm going to tell you, that world's coming to an end. Whenever God created this earth, He created a man. And He gave him a woman. And the first thing He did is He married him right there on the spot. It doesn't say what Eve said, because God usually speaks through the men. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. We have a responsibility of being. Like when it talks about the husband, we are the glory of God. The men are, and the women are they're the glory of the church. But the point is, we got a lot more responsibility than women do. This is a big deal. And so God uses the men. But I'm going to tell you what Eve said. She said, I'm going to love you till you die. That's what she said. And God joined them right there because it's a sacred thing. Now, I like to watch old TV shows. I like to watch Andy Griffin. Andy Griffin is one responsible guy. And he knows what he's doing. He just smooth, old-timey, this is how we're going to do it, boys. He don't got no wife. Barney don't got no wife. Goober don't got no wife. You know, these people ain't got no wives. They got girlfriends. They ain't got no wife. I mean, this is 1960. They started. They're taking the wife out of this thing. Because God demands a family to be a man and a woman. That's it. Now, you take Gunsmoke. Matt Dillon's the coolest guy I ever met in my life. He's got all the right answers. Ain't got no wife. He got a girlfriend. Kitty ain't got no husband. You know, he never did hang his hat up at Kitty's place. I mean, everybody knows that. Doc didn't have no wife. You go to look at these old, old shows. I mean, you go to the Waltons, and you got this. I think they did the blessing around the table a lot. But the man of the father of the family sat outside in the parking lot. He wouldn't go into church. I mean, they was attacking the church and the pillar and the ground of the truth every time they. I watched it a little bit, and I'm just amazed at how back in those days they slipped in all those little things to undermine the truth. Hollywood's been working. And I'll tell you something, we got to work. There's a man in the Old Testament, and his name is Achan. I think his name means trouble. But he did something he wasn't supposed to do. And he was an Israelite. 36 of those Israelites died because this guy stole something he wasn't supposed to have. And then he died, and his whole family and everything he's got, they burned it, they killed him with rocks. But the truth is, the Old Testament is a picture, a physical picture of a spiritual world now. The thing about Achan is, he caused the death of 36 people. I want to tell you, if we drop the ball, we cause the spiritual death of people. You know, I don't know, I always pray that like in Esther, it says, Mordecai tells Esther, he says, look here, he says, if you don't do something, deliverance is going to come to God's people by some other method. But you and your family is going to perish. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is the part that the church has in this thing. We have got to get it right. We have got to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, this book ain't got a whole lot of rules. Whenever God gives us a new covenant, He says, I'm going to read that to you. I love the new covenant. It's so simple. You know, basically, when God saves us, He changes everything. And I'm going to tell y'all what we're doing. We are selling Jesus short whenever we put saved people in a position of lost people. If a person's saved, God's going to change them. They're a new creature. And they're going to not do things that they did before because they have the fear of God in them. That's what the difference is. I don't do things because of any reason. I mean, I'm up here tonight because God told me to come up here. Wednesday night, I laid there all night long, just like I did when He called me to preach. This ain't where I want to be. And I'm going to tell y'all something. We have got to get this thing right. People out of the church, they can be confused all they want. But when you come to the church, you ought to get the answers. And the answers is, you've got to have a wife when you come in here. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. We ain't under the law no more. We're under the new covenant. And God says, I will do these things, and I will be to them a God. That changes everything. And he says that we'll all know Him. When a person gets saved, they know God in a different way, in a different capacity than anybody ever can. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you ain't saved, you don't know who you're dealing with. That's the problem. But what I want to show y'all here is I want to take the confusion out of this thing, like the whole world. I mean, my family. I'm surrounded by people that think they can live with their boyfriend, have all the kids they want, live with their grandmother, live with their mom, be drunk every... I mean, I got a guy in my family that's just straight up alcoholic. Every time he gets drunk, he preaches the Bible and he feels like he's saved. Now, I want to tell you what's wrong with him. He was misinformed back years and years ago. He thinks that God elected him and that he's just trapped in this world of his and he can't help himself. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you got Jesus, you can help yourself. He has the power to do what we need to do and to save us. The Bible says Jesus came to save us from our sin. Now, there's two ways you can look at that. He saves you from your sin when He pays for your sin debt and you don't have to pay for it. He also saves you from your sinful nature. I'm a terrible sinner, but I'm going to tell you I'm a whole lot less terrible sinner than I was when I got saved, because He's working on me. And there's things that I would have done that I won't do now. He's changing me. He's working on me. Now what I want to go over here is how important we are to each other, because we are a family just like God started the family with a man and a wife. The church is a family. Jesus is the head, and we are the hands and the feet and everything else. And we're all tied together. And it's just like Achan. When we drop the ball, people die. Now, I don't know if somebody else is going to step in and save them. I don't know. Jesus said He ain't going to leave no lost sheep out there. God knows who's going to be saved. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We have our responsibility, and we have our chance right now to step up to the plate and make sure that we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. It says here, let me see where it's at now. It says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, not let it once be named among you as become a saint. Not once named among you. We can't bring people in here that ain't married, that's living with somebody. We can't do that. Not once named. You don't get no simpler than that. It's turned into a train wreck everywhere you go. It says, I wrote to you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. If you're not going to hang out with fornicators, you're going to have to leave this earth. But I'm going to tell you, he says, but I have written you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator or those things. He says, we got to judge those that are within. He said, those that are without God judges them. That ain't our problem. But in this church, it is such a big deal that I can't even imagine. I mean, I lay there and I can't sleep and I sweat and I can't sleep. It's like, we've got to get this thing right. I feel like David and Goliath. I feel like I'm fighting a giant, and there's no way that I can change anything. But I'm going to tell you right now, God can change anything, anytime. I'm going to read you something here in Revelations when he's talking to the churches. There's a lot about fornicators and the Nicolaitans, which were people that said, once you're saved, it's okay, you can do all these things. A lot like we do today. He says here, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. He said, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, that little thing in there, oh, that's a beautiful thing. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. God gives us space. Ain't that an awesome deal? My favorite scripture in the Bible is, as long as a man is joined to the living, there's hope. That right there changed the way I thought about life. God can change things. And I was talking about a revival this morning. And a revival is something I've never witnessed. I'm going to tell you what. And I don't think a lot of people know this. But it's a revival is when people take this book and it all of a sudden makes sense to them and it scares them and they take it to heart and they say, wait a minute, whew, he's talking to me. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about these things, but I know how I feel about them. And I know in order for this church to give out the right sound, the Bible says if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who's going to know what to do? We have got to sound out this story of a family that goes to church together, that eats together, that has children together, that are married to the death. Because Jesus said that what God has joined, let no man put asunder. He said for the hardness of their heart, He'd give them a divorce. Because you know what? They couldn't bear it if they wasn't just the way they wanted them. I'm going to tell you what. God made me and Stacy opposites. We're perfect for each other. But you know what? It's always the very first thing on the devil's list to break up the family. The family and the church are the two things that the devil is working on day and night. We've got to work back. We've got to get this book out and we've got to show people, wait a minute, it says that people that do these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That chills my blood. And I want y'all to understand that we live in a world where people don't believe that. And I want y'all to understand that when Jesus came, He was the Word. Whenever you believe Jesus, you believe this book. And the very difference I see in the fantasy that most people live in and reality is there's so many people that believe once you're saved, this is out because it's all okay now. And the truth is, once you're saved, this makes you tremble. This changes. The Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Now, this book changes your life if you're saved. If you're lost, then you can say, I got saved. So, that supersedes all that other stuff. You know what? This is a guidebook to give us a wonderful life. To give us, like Joseph with his grandkids on his knees. A family where you go to Thanksgiving, the mama's there, the granddaddy's there, the grandmother's there, the daddy's there, the mama's there. There ain't no exes coming knocking on the door saying, well, we need to take them, and them crying at the door because their daddy's coming to get them and they don't want to go with him, or vice versa. We live in a world that's so messed up. People don't know what's going on. But we have a book. We know what's going on. We have rules to follow. I want to read you one last thing and I'm done. But, you know, whenever they came, I've read this before, but I'm going to read it again. Whenever they came and Jesus came and died on the cross, He changed everything. And these people got so confused, they didn't know what was going on. And you know, you got all these people saying, oh, you got to do these things. You don't got to do these things. And so they got them together. And they said, what is it that we have to do to keep the law? Do we have to be circumcised? Do we have to give sacrifices? It says right here, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have sent before Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things with their mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these necessary things. This is it. That you abstain from meats offered to idols. We don't do that. And from blood. And from things strangled. And from fornication. From which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. Well, we don't have a whole lot of rules, do we? Does it get any simpler than that? God is about the family. That's what He is. He loves His family to the death. And He wants us to get it right. He don't want nobody out there crying because they ain't got no husband. He don't want nobody out there crying because they ain't got no wife trying to keep these kids by themselves. He wants a family there where when I come home after baling hay all day long, she's got crab legs fixed. That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, when I got ready, she had an outfit for me. I put it on. She said, oh, that won't work. So I had to wear the suit. And Harlan here, he had an idea for me. He said, you put it in the dryer. I said, no, I don't tell her nothing. I'm not going to get in a position where I'm doing the laundry. She knows what she's doing. I'm just doing what she says. I don't tell her to bail. I mean, she don't tell me how to bail hay. I'm not going to tell her how to do the clothes. She brings me out some clothes. I'm going to put them on. She don't like them. I'm going to take them off. She knows what she's doing. She's my wife. And she's took that serious. And we live in a poor, confused world. And the thing that kills me is so much of my family, if they don't see this book for the Word of God, they're going to split hell wide open. And I'm going to tell you, people that know about Jesus and the Gospel, when they go to hell, it's going to be way worse than the people before Jesus came. That's the sad thing about grace. If we don't latch on to it, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And you know, I was reading in Revelations and it said, He that overcometh, I will grant him the opportunity to sit with me on my throne, or sit beside me on my throne like I overcame and I'm sitting with my Father. Can y'all imagine being in heaven? Can you even imagine? We got something to shoot for here. And we don't want to go up there by ourselves with a bunch of confused people. We're going to be called out to answer for how this church ran. And I don't even know where to start. But I just want to, this one thing, since the day I was called to preach, I know I have wore y'all out with it. But it is the confusion of it that kills me. We have to be the pillar of the truth. That's what we have to be. People have to know that these things have got to happen. And these things cannot happen. It's simple. The simplicity of the gospel is, you take God at His Word and you do what He says. The same one that created women, He gave us rules on how we're to be with them. Isn't it awesome that He did that so we can have a family? Everything God has got here is good for us. It's good for everybody. I appreciate y'all coming.